This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
Hi everyone, it's Renee from Mummy Style and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I am joined by the amazing Amy, known as Brummy Mummy Amy, mum to two and pregnant with her third. And we're going to talk about the heartbreaking and sensitive topic of miscarriage. Now, miscarriage is a topic that so many women, and especially me, want to talk about and even feel somewhat ashamed of. So Amy, before we begin, I just want to say how brave it is that you're here, and also at 36 weeks pregnant, for making the journey down to Emma's Diary. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh no, it's a pleasure. So Amy, you're 36 weeks pregnant today, and you've got two children of your own already.
Right.
So tell me a little bit more about home life.
We live in Birmingham. Children, Harry's 9 and Abigail's 6.
Oh, lovely names.
We got a dog and I'm married as well. We've been married for 5 years.
Oh, that's lovely.
But that's about it really. I don't work at the moment. I was made redondant. And to be honest, I don't really plan on going back anytime soon. Anyway, I'm going to sort of enjoy being a stay-at-home mom for as long as possible.
It's always lovely, especially if you can do that.
Yeah,
and spend more time at home.
My husband Mark has supported me in sort of making that decision as well. I think especially with it being our last, I did rush back to work after having the other two. I was back when they were 9 months old. So it's nice to have the opportunity now to sort of make the most of this one.
Yeah. And when did Brummy Mummy Amy start?
June. Pretty much sort of when I lost my job, I sort of thought I'd set up a sort of Instagram account, sort of going through the pregnancy. And it sort of just took off from there, really.
And what was your first story that sort of, was it the miscarriage that got your audience, or was it general mum life?
Yeah, I think I sort of set it up as like a pregnancy blog, just to sort of keep me going throughout this one. I did talk early on about sort of what had happened to me.
Yeah.
And got a lot of support through there. And then sort of introduced sort of just like family life as well to it. So it's a bit of a mixture of everything, really.
So I guess my biggest question is, why do you think women don't talk about miscarriage?
I think it's quite taboo. People think that they go through it on their own and there's not a lot of support and people just don't like talking about it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we don't talk about it, but if it happens to us, devastating as it is, we find that when we talk about it, so many women come forward and say, that happened to me too, or that happened to my sister, or it happened to my friend. And it's not until it happens that people are a bit more vocal about it.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I do share quite a lot on Instagram about sort of what I went through and the amount of people that come back to me and say that they've had the same experience. It is quite incredible, really, because you do just feel really lonely when you're going through it.
Yeah. So would you like to share your story with us today?
Yeah. So last year in June, I had an early miscarriage.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later in September, I had an ectopic pregnancy that I didn't know about. I didn't know I was pregnant at all. I continued having regular periods after the miscarriage.
Yeah.
So that came as quite a shock.
So is that called a missed miscarriage?
Yeah. I mean, the early miscarriage, I found out about that on my birthday. So that was, that was really upsetting. The ectopic was a lot worse. I went through quite a lot with that because it ruptured as well.
Yeah, for the listeners out there that don't know what an ectopic pregnancy is, you just explain it to us.
Yeah, so basically the fertilised egg, it stayed in the tube.
Yeah.
And developed in there and to the point that it ruptured the tube.
And from that, did you have to have your tube removed?
Yeah. They missed the ectopic on the scan when I went to the hospital, so they sent me home, but then it ruptured at home. So I had to go in for emergency surgery.
So that must have been quite daunting, especially because I imagine you wanted another baby after your miscarriage.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
It really upset. I mean, when I went in and they did a pregnancy test and they said I was pregnant, it's sort of like, it was quite a nice feeling because I didn't know that it was ectopic at the time.
Yeah.
It's really upsetting to go through, and there wasn't a lot of support at the hospital. You don't feel like you've had a pregnancy. It's just, you go in and they do an operation, you don't feel very supported through it.
It's quite a lonely feeling, isn't it? Especially
definitely.
When your partner's not felt that excitement. Well, obviously the excitement, but not the inside feelings that, you know, there's a baby inside.
Yeah.
I definitely felt very lonely.
Yeah, I think my husband, he was more concerned about me and sort of like recovering from the operation.
Yeah.
Then for me, I was sort of upset that I'd lost the baby.
Yeah.
But it was a different feeling for him, and he didn't really know how to support me.
And you've got two older children as well. Were they aware that they had a potential baby on the way?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to like to tell them, but I was honest with them throughout and told them what happened, which I think was for the best rather than lying to them, because they are like 9 and 6. So, yeah, it was definitely better to tell them the truth.
And hopefully if women don't talk about it and people don't talk about it, hopefully if you can communicate more with children, that if it's something happens growing up, then they're a bit more aware of it and it's not the taboo we feel at the moment.
Definitely. And because I've got a little boy as well, he's 9, and it's nice to be able to talk to him about feelings and emotions, because I know it's, especially for little boys, they don't like to. So, yeah, it was good to sort of have that sort of communication with him.
How did you do that?
I did it at the hospital when they came to visit, because they were really worried about sort of why I was there.
Yeah.
So, I did sit them down on the bed and sort of tell them that there was a baby and that it had gone to heaven. It's a bit, it's difficult because I didn't really know how to do it. It sort of just came out.
Yeah.
It was a difficult conversation to have with them. But I just said, obviously, that it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I imagine they were very upset.
Yeah, I think they didn't really understand, because they've never had to have those sort of conversations before. They don't know anything about sort of child loss.
Yeah.
And pregnancy loss. So it was a difficult conversation and a lot for them to take in. But, yeah, I'm glad that we did do it, rather than sort of feeling like I couldn't tell them.
Yeah. Did you do it with your husband?
Yeah, we both sat there sort of in the hospital doing it together.
Did you find afterwards that they still ask questions or?
Yeah, they do. They did still ask sort of questions, sort of especially when I got pregnant again.
Yeah.
Sort of, would it happen again? Things like that. So there was a bit of anxiety about it. But, yeah, I think I've included them a lot in the pregnancy. I've took them along to the scans and things as well, sort of to give them that reassurance that everything's okay.
Oh, that's beautiful, because then, like you said, they've got their own little anxieties.
Yeah.
But to take them on your journey with you, that must have been lovely for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. When I went for a scan, where was it? I had a 3D scan and they gave me like a heartbeat bear.
Yeah.
So I had that and I gave that to my daughter. So she takes that to bed and it's got like the baby's heartbeat in it.
That's beautiful.
So that's really nice.
Oh, because that's a story that she's going to tell.
Yeah.
Your new baby, that this is your heartbeat.
Yeah, definitely.
That's gorgeous.
So, yeah, that was lovely. So she's took that and I don't get a look in now.
Are they very, your two eldest ones, are they just super excited for this new baby?
Yeah, I think reality's kicking in a little bit now for my daughter, because she's been the baby for sort of 6 years.
Yeah.
So I think, she's starting to realise that there is going to be a new baby.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they are excited. I just don't know if she's going to get a bit jealous.
I guess that's a topic for another,
another podcast.
And then other than your partner, did you have any support from family or friends?
Yeah. I mean, because I've been so honest about it as well, and I've sort of discussed it on my Facebook and Instagram, I have had a lot of support and a lot of people that come forward and said that they've gone through the same things, even like close friends that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Had gone through it.
Oh, that's amazing. That's something that came from something so sad.
Yeah.
And also something that feels very personal to you. You've been able to reach out with your story.
Yeah.
And you get other people have a voice to come back to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's been nice sort of having a little group of support around me.
So the biggest question I guess a lot of our listeners will want to know is, so you've had one of your fallopian tubes removed.
Yeah.
And you're pregnant now.
Yeah.
So a lot of the preconceptions is, well, you can't get pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, they did say it would be difficult for us. So I didn't expect it to sort of happen as quick as it did. But sort of, I was pregnant by March this year. So it's 6 months after the operation.
Was there anything you did to prepare yourself within that time, whether mentally or was it just you knew you wanted another baby?
No, I think it was just, I think after what happened, I kind of had it in my head then that I wasn't going to give up. And it worked for us. So.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And you're due imminently?
Yes, 2.5 weeks.
Fabulous.
So, not long now. Everything's ready.
So I guess for the women that are listening out there, maybe they've had miscarriage themselves or maybe they're going through it. Is there much support out there?
There is. The hospital that I went to, the Birmingham Women's Hospital, they've got sort of like dedicated team there that can offer support. Sort of guide you to sort of charities as well, sort of like the Ectopic Pregnancy Trust. And then also I was signed off with depression. So I went to the doctors, I got a lot of support from them. They sort of referred me for counselling. And I got support, a lot of support through family and friends as well.
And was the depression part came because of the miscarriage?
Yeah, that and the ectopic sort of being so close together as well.
It
built up. And I did feel, I'm not very good at talking straight away, so I did hold a lot in. So I think that didn't help, and I just sort of sat in a black hole at home, really.
Was that a personality thing that you don't talk, or was it because of the stigma that's around?
I think a bit of both, really, to start with. I didn't want to discuss it, and I didn't know anyone else that had gone through it at the time. It wasn't until I started to open up that you do realise that you're not the only one, and there is a lot of people around that you can talk to.
And what support did you get in terms of the depression side?
I was put on antidepressants. I was put on antidepressants, but I don't think they helped me, to be honest, so I stopped taking them. And I did just become more open with people instead. I'd rather just talk about things when I'm starting to feel down. And that helped me a lot better than sort of any sort of medicine.
And who did you talk to?
Family. I spoke to my husband a lot.
Yeah.
My mom as well. My mum's been my rock. So
you felt that talking to your partner, talking to your mom, talking to your audience from your brummy mummy, that
definitely
was a lot more effective than the medical side.
Definitely. Sort of like if I put a post up on my Instagram and then people will inbox me, and it's nice to speak to people.
Yeah.
Give them sort of help if they've been in a similar situation.
Yeah. So during your current pregnancy, have you had any worries?
Yeah, definitely. The first 3 months especially, I think I was concerned the whole time. Just it's sort of a waiting game. And I didn't know if I'd get any sort of extra care, any extra scans or anything, but I didn't. So it's a long way to wait till you're 12 weeks for that first scan.
Especially if you've had a big operation. Yeah. Was there not any extra support from your midwives or from the hospital?
I had an early scan at 6 weeks. Just to sort of check that it was viable. But from that then nothing extra really. I'm under consultant care, but I don't really have any extra appointments.
So your support literally is coming from your followers.
Yeah,
your
definitely. It's having that has really helped me during this pregnancy as well. And because I lost my job in June, so it's kind of given me something to focus on, having me sort of like the blog. So yeah, it's been good.
And for me, when I had my miscarriage and then I got pregnant later with Henry, my first, I kept checking every time I went to the toilet, and you suddenly become paranoid. And even when your bump's growing and you have your scans, there's always that worry in the back of your mind thinking, is it going to happen again?
Definitely. I must have gone through about 30 pregnancy tests in like the first couple of weeks, just constantly doing it every day, driving myself mad. I think it's not until sort of you do start to feel those kicks and things, that's when you're like, you've got that bit of reassurance on a day-to-day basis.
And in terms of your children that you spoke to about it, have they been a lot more excited, or could you see that they were a little bit cautious?
I think to start with, they was quite cautious as well because of they remember sort of what happened last year. So the worry was that it was going to happen again. But yeah, now they are really excited. So.
Did you feel like you had to hold back before you told them this time around?
Yeah, I did. We waited until we had the scan, sort of like the 12-week one.
Yeah.
And then we announced it to them.
Ah.
So yeah, it's nice.
That's lovely.
But still, even after that, I think I was still worried just constantly. I don't think it ever goes away, does it?
No.
In the next 18 years.
Yeah, there's always something for us to worry about.
Definitely.
And did they say anything why it happened, or is it just one of those things that can happen to any woman?
Yeah, just one of those things that can happen to anyone, really. It's just unlucky. So, yeah. But, yeah, I got lucky again afterwards, so got a little rainbow coming.
Oh, do you know what you're having?
No, kept it a surprise.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's the last one, so I thought we've got one of each.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a little surprise this time.
Any inkling whether it's pink or blue?
Feel like it's a boy. Do keep referring to it as a boy. So, yeah, don't know. It's hard to tell. None of my pregnancies have been the same. So it's all
different. And then from your first two, was there any problems before those, or was that your first miscarriage?
No problems at all. conceived really easily with both the sort of the older kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've only sort of had problems recently. I mean, I didn't know if the age was going to be a factor because I'm in my 30s now, so I didn't know if that was going to affect me. But yeah, they've not said anything.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things to let women know is that it can happen to any of us.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it, unless medically your doctors find something, but it could happen to anyone. And definitely people, women especially, need to talk about it more.
Definitely.
And even our partners definitely need to, if they need to reach out to someone and talk about it, because it is such a taboo subject.
As well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one in four, isn't it? One in four women go through it.
Yeah.
So that's quite scary when you think of that.
Yeah. Terrible odds. And any advice to women that find that they have an ectopic pregnancy in terms of, because you had an operation?
I mean, take your time to recover physically and mentally. I took time off work for quite a while because it affected me. So much. But yeah, just speak about it. Don't sit on your own. Don't think about it on your own. Discuss it with anyone that you can, really.
And is there any good advice you've got from your followers as well?
Same sort of thing, really, just to keep talking about it. It's probably the best thing you can do for yourself as well. It's so good just to get some off your chest. If you bottle it up, it doesn't help anyone, does it?
No, definitely not. So there's obviously this lovely story at the end where you're pregnant now, and you're in a hopefully a lot better place.
Yeah.
But for the women out there that maybe not, what support and advice could you give those? Because I know for me, when I had my miscarriage, it was before Instagram, it was before, you know, Facebook was big. So for me, I had to reach out to friends and family to discuss it with them. And it was quite daunting to just go to them and say, you know, I feel really down. I feel like I've done something wrong. Because that face-to-face is almost quite scary.
Yeah.
But I guess from your perspective, you've had your audience and obviously your partner's been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But for anyone listening out there that maybe doesn't have the, you know, the Instagram family almost, how can you get that support?
I mean, best thing I found was to sort of open up to sort of family and friends first, or my close circle.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know not everyone's comfortable enough to do that, so it may be that you go and talk to your doctor. Just talk to somebody. Obviously, if you're going through something, it's whoever you can, just talk to them, even if it's by email. If you want to call someone, if you can't face doing it face to face, it's always just a big help to get someone off your chest.
Yeah, there's also Emma's diary as well. If you're not quite ready to have that conversation, there's so much information, whether it's from the mental health perspective or just general advice. And obviously there is forums of women that have gone through that as well. If you feel like that face-to-face you're not quite ready for. But definitely my biggest advice is don't feel like you're alone.
Yeah, definitely.
And definitely don't feel like you've done anything to bring on the miscarriage.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things, it can happen to anybody. It's never something that you can control.
Yeah. And hopefully, similar to you, you've got a lovely story at the end. You've got a lovely baby due imminently, and you've got your beautiful family. And I think it's incredible that you shared that with your kids, because I think that's a big takeaway, because you always think that your miscarriage is your first baby.
Yeah.
You never think that it could happen afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's good that you shared that, and hopefully women out there can feel that positive, that they can talk to their families.
There can be a light at the end. It's not always sort of going through something like that's not always going to be the end for you.
Yeah.
Don't give up hope.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's a lovely way to end it. Don't give up hope. So yeah, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today, Amy.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed this week's chat just as much as I did. I absolutely love hearing about other amazing mummies' experiences. Don't forget to join us next week, where I'll be speaking to yet another amazing guest. Bump, Baby and Beyond is hosted by me, Renee, from Mummy Style, and produced by the amazing Bang Boom Creative.